Hi, I'm Nath, and this is Paraverse Live. Hello. You'll see again, I'm on my own this week. Stu is currently, really fucking jealous, Stu is currently in Rendlesham Forest doing all of the fun things that come with being in Rendlesham. So I'm stuck here on my own while he's out gallivanting having fun. Terrible. Terrible co-host. Oh, let's see. We've got a few people trickling in. Special announcement today, not necessarily a specific topic we're going to be talking about. Well, there is, but nothing necessarily paranormal, should we say. But it's definitely very, very big news for Paraverse Live. But I won't get into that just yet. We do have some quite interesting paranormal news. Managed to not cut myself off with that one. I always, as I listen back to it as podcast, I'm still rambling away as the fucking intro plays every bloody time. Excuse me. Right, so in the news recently, there has been a very strange series of cryptid sightings in the Philippines. This one took me quite a while to figure out how the fuck to say it. It's, why do they give them all such strange names? It's ridiculous. But anyway, so I'll show you the picture and then I'll go through what's been seen and what's been going on. This is the Mananangal. That's why it was such a ridiculous word to try and say. So police in Talisay City, again, I'll try not to butcher any of these names, in the Philippines, have urged locals to remain calm and stop spreading misinformation following reports of a sighting of the mythical creature called the Mananangal. Residents in Sitio Manga claim that they have seen the creature numerous times this month. The creature, which is from Filipino folklore, is described as looking like a bat and a witch and can also detach the top half of its body. The myth adds that this creature is able to grow wings and often looks for pregnant women and their unborn children when hunting for food. Apparently spreading ash or salt in the creature's lower half can cause its death. It is also vulnerable to light, hence it hunting at night. Of course, there's not any concrete evidence that the Mananangal exists, but this hasn't stopped people in Talisay City from claiming they've seen the creature, causing the police to step in. Police Lieutenant Colonel Randy Cabales, Chief of the Talisay City Police Station, urged the public not to spread any misinformation or cause any panic, as there is no proof that the creature has been spotted. According to CDN, fears were sparked when two young girls claimed to have seen the creature when they were visiting a neighbor's house and saw it on a roof, causing them to start shouting and crying. Two neighbors were questioned, but neither claimed to have seen anything. Cabales added, "Your police force is doing its best efforts to shed light on this event. Like you, we are also hoping to find the answers to our questions." News of the sighting has since made its way to TikTok, where people can't quite believe that this is just the latest addition in an already bizarre news cycle for 2023. So anyone fancy bumping into that in the middle of the night, detaching its torso and flying after you and trying to feast on your blood? Because I don't fancy that. That's absolutely terrifying. Jesus. I'd much rather have the chupacabra or the goat sucker. You know, I love the chupacabra. So that was the paranormal news. Let's have a quick scroll through the comments. We've got a few Facebook users again. To be fair, most of you have probably done it a million times. StreamYard is a pain in the ass for this. But if you go on to right at the top of the link for the live stream, there's a little link that says StreamYard.com/Facebook. If you click on there, you can give it permission to show your name. Excuse me. Another Facebook user. Hi, everybody. Chris is here. Chris is always here. Bless him. Dave shared quite a few people. Thanks, Dave. Amy, must be weird talking on your own. Hats off to you. We're here, though, but in messages, obviously. To be fair, I talk to myself all day. It's nothing new. I'm always talking to myself. It's probably not a good thing to announce to the world, but still. Hi, Sylvia. Chris is back again. Another one. Sorry, Chris. Clicked on you twice. Leslie, hi. Who else we got? I think there's everyone else's Facebook user at the moment. But yeah, that's the man and angle. That's an odd one. I'm glad we don't have too many terrifying things over here. We just seem to have black cats. Although we did have, what was it called now? The Knocker of Lyminster. That one made me laugh. That one was pretty weird. I've tried Phil Jr. Don't answer. Again, Facebook user. Unfortunately, I don't know who you are. Hi, Annie. Right, so should we get into why we're here tonight? Instead of me just rambling to myself again. So, as you may have noticed, our intro compared to last year is a little bit shorter because we decided to try and change it up this year and get a new sponsor. And reached out to someone, thought, you know, it'd be really cool to have this product, this company sponsor Paraverse, but they weren't quite ready to go public with everything. They were kind of waiting to be launching on Amazon and whatever, so we waited a few weeks, but now they're ready. So I'm going to show this quick video when I can find it. There we go. And then I'll bring in the guest that is here to explain all about who our new sponsor is and what it is. Please welcome Dave again.
Good evening.
You seem to be, I think you're the most commonly used guest on the show, but you're not here for the same reason.
That's all good. I'm not, no.
So, obviously, it's not just some random ass company that we've decided to use. Otherwise, I'd have just announced we have a new sponsor. The reason I did this and decided to bring Dave on to discuss who our new sponsor is and why is because it's very, very, very related to the topics that we sit and discuss here every week. So, Dave, would you like to explain why you're here?
I will indeed. Well, as you may have seen on previous Paraverse episodes, I'm the chairman of Birmingham UFO Group, the lead investigator for the group, the United Kingdom deputy representative for ISA, the International Coalition of Extraterrestrial Research. But what Paradigm Games is something completely different. In order to go over what it is, I need to take you right back for many years ago, which we can obviously get into more depth. Paradigm Games is my own company. I am the sole owner of Paradigm Games. And the reason that I created the company was to officially launch a UFO-themed card game, which I've created and designed from scratch. And it's essentially the most authentic portrayal of the real UFO subject ever seen in a tabletop game. So that was the, instead of have my name on the box, I wanted an actual sort of company logo, proper logo to be on the box. So I decided to go down that route and get the logo designed, which you've seen there. The logo has been designed by the same artist as the game, which we'll be getting into in depth.
Very cool. And I will say, it's a very, very cool game for someone that I was kind of a little bit worried when you were like, come play my game, play my game. I was like, I don't play tabletop games. Like, I suck at tabletop games. People keep trying to make me play it. And I'm a very competitive person. And because I suck at them, I don't like to play them. But I didn't lose. Well, I did. But I didn't lose because I sucked at the game. I lost because that's how good the game is. Like, you being good at the game doesn't help. It's kind of like the luck of, it's like trying to play, I'm trying to play Snap. Like, it's a luck of the draw. You know what I mean? You there's no way of guaranteeing that you'll win because you're better than others. So it's a really good game, even for complete novices, complete beginners like me, because I sucked. And I didn't lose. I didn't win, but I didn't come last. Yeah, definitely fun. So yeah, you obviously made the game a while ago.
We did
a Kickstarter to get it started, which it flew through really, really quickly.
Yeah.
And just kept getting more and more and more support, which was like fantastic.
I don't know if everybody listening will actually know what a Kickstarter even is, so we can go over that in a bit more depth if you like. I mean,
explain the process there.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, well, I'll take you right back. Why not? I'll take you right back to its origins, yeah, because people are probably thinking right now, what, a UFO-themed card game? What? Are you mad? So everybody's thinking, you know, when's Dave going to release his book? And the reason I've held off on releasing a book, which will be coming in the years ahead, is that I've been focusing solely on this game for quite a period of time. In actual fact, the development of UFO Wave started over 5 years ago, I believe, maybe six, seven now, with the lockdown happening. You lose track of time, don't you? The years fly by. And I've always had an interest in tabletop games alongside my interest in ufology. One of my other interests is tabletop gaming. I absolutely love that feeling of just getting together with friends and family around a table. In this electronic age where we're just all playing video games and things all the time, it's actually nice to do that, just to play games live with your friends or family around the table. And I've always loved that. I've got a big passion for it. And there's many, many games out there. So some of the less familiar with the tabletop gaming world, you'll only be familiar with the mainstream games that are released, Scrabble, Drafts, Chess, etc. All the main ones that I've seen time and time again in mainstream shops. But there's actually thousands of different games out there, card games, board games, just it goes on and on, covering pretty much every single subject that you've ever seen possible. I guarantee you'll find a board or a card game on it.
I think I played 50 different games. Every time we go to Stu or go around Stu's house, him and his missus are like, let's play this game, and I've never heard of it. What I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I still get really competitive, and I'm like, okay, tell me the rules. I want to win. And there's obviously thousands they don't have.
A lot of them are very underground, and they never, in order for a game to be sold, take for example in WH Smith's, it needs to be really, really, really popular, like right up there. There's so many games out there that never make it to mainstream shops. Some of them are sold online, as I intend to do so with UFO Wave. Other ones may only be sold in select underground shops or particular places, or even just at conventions and that sort of thing. And they may never even make it to shops at all. So there's a lot going on out there. Now, with my background, I've played hundreds and hundreds of games over the years, hundreds of tabletop games, both card and board games. And I've played a number of games themed on aliens before, which have included UFOs, good old classic flying saucers generally. But every single time, it's never been done with the respect for the real subject in depth. It may have been touched on, and they may feature certain aspects, like I mentioned there, so flying saucers. or you might have little green men with little antennas, and they got laser guns in their hands and all that. So time and time again, you'll see that sort of thing, the alien invasion type thing. But it's never really been represented, not wholly as an entire board or card game before, I believe. I mean, there are some that have been a focus on the subject, but not to the depth that I've gone into with this one. And with my knowledge and experience as a UFO investigator, I wanted to bring the subject full on into the world of tabletop gaming. So this is a passion project of mine. Right from the beginning, it was never designed as any kind of money-making project. It was designed because I fancied making a game that I thought needed to be out there on the UFO subject, and I thought it'd be really interesting to design a game from scratch. Now, for many, many years, even back in my childhood, I can remember making kind of like drawing board games that we played through with the dice and this sort of thing. So it was at the back of my mind, wouldn't it be interesting to actually create a game from scratch, design it, and get it out there as a real product? And I've done that, essentially. I've worked through that process, and it's taken an incredible length of time. There's been many, many pitfalls along the way. All sorts of craziness has gone on. I've seen the highs and lows of game development right the way through with this one. But I decided to release the game via Kickstarter when it was finally put together. And then in a minute, I'll go back to the origins. To tell you what Kickstarter is, essentially, it's a crowdfunding website. So people can put their ideas out there. People will back the project. So it's a bit like Dragon's Den, if you've seen that. People will back the project. And then with the money that you gather from those backings, you then go and make the product, and then you deliver the product to all the people that have backed the game. And I decided that that would be the best way of doing it, because it's quite a lot of money, obviously, to get something manufactured in bulk. So I decided to go down that route for it, and I'm very proud to say that we were successful with it. Very fast indeed, in about 3 days flat, we'd reached the goal that we required to make the game and get it out there for real. And then since then, it's been a case of getting it manufactured across in China. We've gone with the manufacturer known as Hero Time Manufacturing in China. They designed the actual product and then shipped it out to all the backers worldwide. How did UFO Wave come about? Let's go back to the origins a bit more on this one. So this is about its fifth or sixth iteration of the game. I kept on trying different styles of gameplay. I was trying to think what would work best, because I wanted it to be very closely aligned with the real subject and what's going on. And it was quite early on in the process that I decided that rather than take it from a human perspective, I'd flip it round on its head, so you actually play as the alien species. So you can actually play as the Greys or as the Nordics or some of the other main species. And we'll go into that in a bit more depth when we start discussing card types. But once I decided on that, the way I wanted to play that, there was lots of different styles of gameplay I could go with for that. Now, it's easier to put together a card game than it is a board game, because board games usually have pieces in miniatures. I looked into the process, and apparently that's a lot more risky to go down that, especially as a first time product. So I decided it would be the best to do a card game, and I started to just try out different types of things, but each time I wasn't satisfied with it. It would either take too long to play, or it'd be over complex, or it'd be too similar to another game that was already out there. And that was another one of my prerogatives from the off, was I wanted it to be different to other card games. I didn't want it to feel like I'd taken an existing card game and just stuck a UFO skin over it. I wanted it to be its own thing. So
I suppose You were probably in the best situation for that, because as someone that has only played a few card games, if I tried to make it, I'd run a lot more risk of making it fit between those few card games. Having played hundreds, even if you did steal a concept from this and a mechanism from this one and a whatever, it's a lot easier to make a card game that's not exactly like any of the others, but still... There's still obviously very common mechanisms and ways that card games work.
Absolutely. So you didn't have
to completely make up the entire thing, but you could still find a way to do it without ripping somebody else.
Absolutely, yeah. And we'll get more into the card mechanics of how it works in a bit, but essentially what I believe I've come up with is something that's either extremely, extremely rare or entirely unique. I can think of about one or two games that had slightly similar mechanics to what we've done here. but it's certainly different to most card games out there. So yeah, very pleased with the end results. But as I say, it took many different attempts, and I kept on taking it back to the drawing board. But in the end, I got the end product, what's become UFO Wave, essentially, and I decided to sort of start building on that. Once I got that down, once I got this is going to be it, this is how it's going to work, I could then start to refine and play test it. And at this point, there was a number of other big decisions to make. So I had the ideas all up there, and I was creating just fake cards, just out of white card with words written on them, and trying out gameplay like that. I'd get round friends to play test different versions of it. We were chucking out ideas, adding new stuff.
You should have done the drawings yourself, like little illustrations.
I did do that, but I didn't keep many of the. I didn't take any, many early photos. I've got some design photos with the artist, but
cards as the original version of UFO Wave, just like in a museum somewhere one day.
I should have, shouldn't I? Actually, yeah. Thinking back, yeah. Once it was, in actual fact, once I'd come up with the final concept, I actually used a card creation software. So I was building them. And I was building sort of fake cards through the software and then printing them out. Mm-hmm. And that seemed a lot easier than just having to kind of scribble them all out with pen, mm-hmm. of course. And in actual fact, I used card creation software in the final design. And it wasn't fully done. It was sort of, it was a mix of that and reaching out to the artist to improve on them. Mm-hmm. So I came up with the concept, and then there was a very difficult decision to make. So I could have taken this one or two ways. I was either going to go down the sort of deadly serious route with a very kind of serious drawn art pieces, or I could take it down a kind of more fun, family-friendly perhaps, cartoon artwork style. And I've always had a sense of humour. I've always kind of liked the fun side of the subject. Mm. Now, I deal with cases all the time, and I speak with people who are deeply affected by this subject. So I'm in no way taking the mick out of any of it. It's a very serious subject and it deeply affects people, but at the same time, obviously there's a lot of humor you can get through the UFO subject, and a lot of tropes that are out there, and a lot of UFO lore that's seen time and time again. And of course we've seen this done lots of times before with, say, for example, the series of Men in Black movies would be a really good analogy. They've taken an aspect of the UFO subject there and turned it into some very good fun comedy films. So I wanted that kind of fun aspect to it for numerous reasons. First of all, it kind of appealed to me that way, but also secondly, I wanted it to be more sort of family friendly, suitable for older children as well as adults. Now I've got she's now turned 12, but I've got a daughter, and I wanted her to enjoy the game and be able to play it, I wanted it to be straightforward enough for her to understand, and at the same time complex enough to warrant repeated play, so it didn't feel like just something very, very straightforward. It needed to have tactics and strategy in there, and I believe that what I've created is a nice marriage of that. It's easy to understand and learn, as you'll vouch for there. Yeah. But at the same time, there's a deep strategy to it that can be learned that can give you the edge. Now, there is a luck element to it. With most card games, there's a luck element. About the only game I can think of where there's no luck element is chess or draughts, anything like that, where you've got set pieces and everybody starts exactly equal. Mm. Now, with most card games, obviously, you're dealt a hand of random cards. So straight away, there's a luck element in there as soon as that happens. And the majority of card games, that applies. Yeah. But at the same time, there are ways of gaining the upper hand and learning how best to use the cards that you've got. Yeah. So
that was my problem. I learned the tactics about 5 minutes before the game ended. It took me so long to learn because there were so many of us playing. By the time I'd sit there planning my next move, and by the time it got back to me, everything I'd planned had gone out of the window because other people had moved the cards and had their go. And I was like, I've got to plan something else. So it took me so long to get used to the tactics because there were so many people playing. All my tactics kept not working. I was finally now I've got it. Oh, damn, the game's out.
The game's ended, yeah. But of course, you just replay it. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can just go for multiple games. And it will take the first or maybe two playthroughs to get the general gist of it, especially because of the mechanics being different to most games that you'll be used to. Now, let's go over that a bit more in depth. Essentially, the game is a competitive card game. I decided to take it down that route rather than the cooperative route. I thought it'd be more fun to be able to interact with the other players and sort of fight against them. But it's not particularly vicious on that. You can do a lot yourself. It's not like you're constantly getting attacked by the other players. There's a lot of tactics involved with how you're playing the actual game as well.
I like that it allowed for that. For you didn't have to be just try and take down the other players. You could just sit and play your own game and completely leave everyone else alone. Or you could be like, you know what? I'm going to pick on you. And every time I can, I'm going to take cards from you. And you've got people like giving each other like evils across the table. Like, don't you dare take that card. You know I took that card. You can't have it. You could see the people that you thought were friends. You could see that friendship cracking as they started attacking each other across the table. It was fun.
Indeed, yeah. And my daughter loves to do that. Loves to bully me in the game, absolutely. It's one of her favourite things to do. She doesn't worry about the score that she's going to get, just as much as she can do to annoy me in it. So essentially, it's a game for 1 to 6 players. So so usually competitive games are sort of 2 or more players, of course. And I wanted it to support quite a number of players, so it can take up to 6 players at once. And in actual fact, you could probably get 2 copies of it, put them together, and play a 12-player game. We've never attempted that, but there's no reason why that wouldn't work. I also wanted to include a solo mode. Now, that's not just to tick a box and be like, oh, there's a solo mode in there. I quite liked some of the tactics of the game revolve around what's actually laid out on the table in front of you, which will make more sense when we get to discussing it more. But I wanted there to be a game there. For if you were alone and you had no friends to play with or anything at that particular time, you could still have a game, kind of like solitaire. So you're playing against the cards, and it still works. And it's more of a kind of point scoring, you against the game rather than you against the game and your opponents. Yeah. But primarily, the game would be played competitively with 2 or more, and it'll work perfectly.
Playing that on my own, I'd still get attacked. Even the cards hate me.
Oh, you do? Oh, no, you do. I bet it's with the solo mode, it's about how well can you defend yourself from what the game's trying to do to you, and that'll give you an end score. Mm-hmm. So it's a victory point scoring game with set collection elements. For any of you who are familiar with different card games, this will make more sense to you. So it's got victory points collection. It's got set collection elements to it. It's got take that elements, that's elements where you're playing bad cards against your opponents suddenly to mess up their turns and that sort of thing. So it's got all of those in together. But essentially, in the game, you play as an alien species, as I mentioned. So you'll be playing as 1 of 6 different species and taking command of that species. Now, I wanted to include all the main types. So every single thing throughout the game is based on the real subject, and it's based on real cases that have been documented. Now, your own views on those subjects or exactly where these beings are from and that's absolutely fine. But the fact that there are reports with these different types in. So, let's go through them. So obviously, you've got the greys in there. Obviously, the biggest stars of the UFO world, of course, had to be in there. You've got the Nordics, or other people like to refer to them as humanoids or Pleiadians. The blonde-haired, very human-looking beings are in there. We've got reptilians. Now, some people obviously view the reptilians in quite a negative light, and they are actually the bad guys in the game. But they're in there. We've got mantids. So mantids are the large insectoid ones, quite rarely seen. I'd say in about less than 10% of the cases I've investigated on contact have included mantid beings. But there are enough on record to justify them as a real thing. The other two species I included were the hybrids. So half grey, half human. I wanted to represent the hybrid aspect of the contact phenomena in this game. As I said, it's got elements to it that have probably never been covered in a tabletop game before. And the last species I included is shadow beings, and that's to link in with the paranormal aspect of the subject, and the fact that many contactees see these tall shadowy beings often in sort of hooded robes. Now, you may not think that they're definitely alien. You may have a view that they are. Maybe they're their own alien species, or maybe they're something else, like apparitions that are being seen. but whatever they are, they're in the game as a species that you can take command of. And so you can either choose your species at random or go with whichever you favor. Now, it's not just a card that that you're just choosing. They've actually each got their own particular powers, so it creates a bit of difference as to which species you're playing, so you can try it out and choose your favorites based on what abilities you're going to have as that species.
Yeah.
So that's an overview of the species, and if you wish, we can next start discussing the other decks.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So, obviously, you'll know this already. I hope you do. Do you remember? You may remember, yeah. it was all a bit much. I know your first game, you're like, oh, my God, there's too much going on. Yeah. So the other two decks in the game, species deck, which we've just gone over, the scan deck and the plan deck. So I'll first talk about the scan. The scan is a line of cards that you lay out on the table, and it represents what you can see in the vicinity from your craft. So you have to imagine that you and your opponents are flying around in their craft and they're looking out the windows, and what can they see both in the air and down on the ground. And there's different types of things that appear on these cards that are in the vicinity. And the first type is activities. And activities are essentially different tasks that you can perform, which may include abduction or creating a crop formation, or performing a landing. It's just some of the types that are in there. I included the animal mutilation phenomena. I know that's a particularly dark aspect of the UFO subject, but it would be bad for me to just exclude it for the game for that reason. Yeah. Now the picture on the card is not graphic or anything. There's no gore or blood or anything like that, because I didn't want, and nor did I want people to see it as a kind of fun thing. Oh, you've put it in this game, and that means that it's a laughing matter. It's absolutely not a laughing matter, and it's very much a real aspect of the subject. But that's why it's in there. So you know, while it is a family friendly game, I have still included the animal mutilation film when I'm in there. So that's activities, and essentially they're worth a number of points. So you're trying to perform these activities, and you perform them by taking them off the line, and you're building up a score pile of the activities that you've performed. So everybody's trying to grab these activities, and they're worth different amounts of points. So you're all trying to get the biggest score by the end of the game and beat your opponent's score. The next type you've got on there are humans. So humans do feature in the game, but they're actually mostly out to stop you. So humans will guard adjacent activities. So if they're alongside an activity on the scan, they'll actually be guarding that activity and stopping you from performing it. And you can still perform it if you wish, but if you do, the human will spot you and then they'll start watching you. And at that point, you'd move it to in front of you. And then it usually has a negative effect. And some of the humans in there, we've got Men in Black, the military, Skywatchers are in there. So yeah, Skywatchers in this game, bad. And yeah, I love Skywatching. Obviously, you and me, Nathan, we've actually been on Skywatchers together. And but in terms of being spotted, and the fact that the subject is covert, so you're flying around trying to do these activities covertly. Obviously, Skywatchers is probably a bad thing from that perspective.
Yeah.
So they're in there. And there's also another card to represent us, to represent UFO believers, UFO enthusiasts, call them what you will. So there's a believers card, and that's actually a positive human card. And you actually want the believers, so you're actually trying to get them to come and sit in front of you, almost like little building up a little following. That's the humans. Now, you can actually even lead humans. So I'm talking about a lot of different rules here at the same time as the card types. You can actually lead humans to your opponents. So if you want to be mean to somebody, you can start dobbing them out to the men in black and the military and sending them all their direction.
So if I'm playing, apparently throw them all at me. That seemed to be
is that what I did?
Yeah, pretty much. Everyone threw them at me.
I may or may not have been doing that on purpose. Yeah. So then you've got energy. So energy cards are also going to appear on the scan. And these are essentially just pockets of energy that are floating around in the air. Now, you can't take energy directly off the scan, but if you do something near it, so if you perform an activity near it or you lead a human that's near to it, you're going to soak up that energy. And some of it's good and some of it's bad. So you're trying to get positive type energy, which might help your score or give you other benefits. And you're trying to avoid the other stuff, the sort of more negative energy. And the last type that will appear on the scan, although, I'll say it appears on the line, it doesn't really, they're events. And these are one-off incidents that come out, and they give the game a bit of variety every time you play. Now, at the start of the game, you're going to shuffle in two events at random into the deck. You never know what point they're going to come out or which events are going to come out. And there's all sorts of different things can happen, and they cover other aspects of the UFO subjects that aren't covered by the other decks and cards. Take, for example, one of them is a UFO down, and if that comes out, everybody has to discard a craft card, which we'll get to in a minute. So some of the events are bad, and other ones are favourable and will help people. And sometimes you can get ones that might help some players and not others, depending on what point of the game you're at. I wanted to include and to create that kind of randomness of play and just to enhance the experience. So every time it's a bit different because you never know which events are going to appear.
That also didn't help me when I was like sitting there listening. I know what I'm doing. And then the event came out like three cards in. So we had to basically discard all of your cards. I was like, but I had good cards. And then they were just terrible.
And just get new ones. that was a particularly nasty one. That was Hive Mind. Yeah, most players hate that one when that one comes in.
Yeah, that wasn't fun.
One of the events actually was designed as a competition in the kickstarting process. We actually did a competition where the backers could actually design their own event card, and the winner of that competition actually made it into the game. There's actually 15 different events that come with UFO Wave, and you're just going to shuffle them in. So every game's going to be quite random on that regards. So that's the scan deck there. And the next deck is the plan deck. And these are the cards that you're going to be holding in your hand. And you've only got two different types for this. You've first got powers and then you've got craft. So powers are essentially advanced alien abilities that you're utilizing. And some of them technological and more sort of to do with you as the beings themselves. So how they work is you've got two different levels on them. You've got a basic level and an advanced level. And if you're playing a power card on your turn, the basic level will take effect. But if you play it alongside a craft, the craft enhances it to its advanced state. Mm-hmm. And makes the card more powerful. And again, there's all sorts of aspects of the subject are featured. We've got missing time in there as an example. Missing time will actually counter a power played by somebody else, so kind of make it like it never existed, hence missing time. We've got another one, stealth mode, which is essentially make your craft invisible for the turn so that you can perform activities without the humans that are nearby spotting you when you do it. So some of the powers affect the scan. So they might change the order of the cards or remove cards. Some of them are going to attack your opponents. They're kind of quite offensive type powers. And then you've got other ones that are more defensive, like the missing time card that I just mentioned there. And even ones that will allow you to plan ahead. There's a card called a protective aura, which you can essentially use to shield a card that you want to get on the future turn. And it will stop other players grabbing it. There's lots of different ways you can play your powers. And some of the advanced tactics of the game comes from when you're playing your powers and how you're playing them. At what point do you decide to use them? Are you going to hold on to them for later turns? Or are you just going to put them all down just to have an amazing turn and get some really good points that particular turn? Now, moving on to the craft. Again, I wanted to feature the main types of craft that are seen in cases. So, of course, you've got flying saucers in there. But we've also got flying triangles, cigar-shaped craft, and the last one I included was something called shapeshifter. The picture that I wanted was kind of like a glowing orb or a fireball, as many of the sightings that I've seen are. But essentially, it has the power to become one of the other craft, so you can get it to act like a saucer or a flying triangle, essentially shapeshifting into it. Now, the reason why you want to do that is not only can craft power up your powers to their advanced level, you can also collect two of them of the same type, and that will allow you to discard a human who's previously watched you. So let's say you've been spotted earlier in the game by the Men in Black and they're down there and you don't want them because they're having a negative effect on you. You can essentially lead them away using your craft. That was the idea I came up with for that one. So there's multiple ways of using the craft, and again, how you're using them at what point is where it gets strategic.
Yeah. It's really interesting as well to see just how many different tactics there are when you're playing in a group, because everyone seems to have a slightly different tactic. You're not all just trying to get the same card or just trying to do the same thing. Because you're all different beings, you've all got different aims, different craft that help you as opposed to other people. You're all trying to do something slightly different. So it's really interesting to see the different, and the people that are more offensive or more defensive or just plodding along and just playing the cards as they get them.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to see which side your friends fall on, whether they're going to start attacking you or whether they're going to sit there defensively trying to hide what they've got. So it's really fun.
Yes. As a dedicated gamer, as well as a ufologist, I wanted the game to be playable again and again. Mm. And I've played the game hundreds. I've lost count of how many times I've had a game against UFO Wave. Now, we did a lot through the playtesting, and then since then with friends and family again and again. And I'm not just saying this as the game's creator. It genuinely is fun again and again. I just played it a few days ago with a couple of friends again. And it's always brilliant fun because you never know what's going to happen. And this is where the mechanics comes in, and this is what I'm very, very proud of with the game. Well, I'm very proud of lots of aspects of it, but the card mechanics are something that I'm particularly proud of. The game works on the positioning of cards on the scan, and that's very, very an interesting prospect. So you can take any card on your turn. You can literally just pick up any card you like, but its position on the scan line is going to determine how much you want or don't want that card.
Yeah.
So let's take, for example, you've got a high scoring activity. Let's say there's a human down there who you could potentially abduct, but surrounding them it's being guarded by the military on one side and some sky watchers on the other side, for example. Now you could take that, but then you're going to be spotted by those humans, and that's going to be very detrimental to you later, potentially permanently throughout the rest of the game. And there are ways of getting rid of them, as we've discussed with the craft, but you're always playing that risk. Do you do that, or do you potentially hide from the humans or move them elsewhere so that then you can take that using your powers? So there's lots of different. But every single turn, you've got different things that you can do. There's always going to be multiple options as to whether you're going to act defensively or just go for the score, or do you try to position the cards to upset your opponents on later turns? There's lots of different tactics you can play with it.
Yeah, and the bigger the group, I noticed, I'd have my plan for I've got a card that allows me to rearrange the scan. So I'll move one of the higher scoring cards away, but that's the end of my turn. So now other people can take it. So you're sitting there like, I don't want to do that, because then they'll get a higher score than me. So what I want to do is I want to rearrange. You're trying to plan 5 moves ahead, not trying to guess what everyone else is going to do. So it ended up being, it went from, I don't know what I'm doing, to not trusting anyone else or anything. Watching the journey like that card.
That's the thing, you see, you're starting to get the nuances of the game there. But as I said, this is a family-friendly game. You can easily play this with it actually says 8+ on the box. Mm. If your child was, say, 7, they could potentially grasp it if they were good at games and have played lots of games before. And it's absolutely fine to play the game like that. You can just play the game choosing your favorite cards or whatever, and not really thinking about how you're going to upset your opponents on their turns as well. Yeah. But a more advanced player will always take that into account. In addition to having their own turn, they'll be trying to think, what's the best way I can stop my opponents getting a better score than me as well? And it can become extremely tactical. So the game time is usually somewhere between around the half hour mark, sort of 30, 40 minutes. So it's not a game that drags out for hours and hours and hours. You could potentially have multiple games in any particular gaming session. If you're playing with very, very tactical people, it can stretch out. We actually did a 5-player game of it when we were playtesting it back with the Kickstarter, and it ended up taking an hour and a half because every single person was just deeply thinking about what they were doing on their turn, and it just dragged out like that. And then you could play it the other way around, and you could just, I'm just going to take that, and you might play it as fast as sort of 15, 20 minutes if you weren't really thinking. Mm. But and if you did that, you wouldn't be playing it the best.
When you're playing it really tactically and you're playing with someone that's very, very offensive and constantly throwing stuff at you and taking cards away from you and trying to limit your score, you're a lot more likely to be like, no, no, I want to play again. I want some revenge. For you, play me again. I'm going to kick your ass.
So that's absolutely.
That's how you end up stuck playing it four times in a row. Like, no, I want to win. Let me play again.
I guarantee you'll have a great time every time, and you can try different species now. In actual fact, in the rule book, the first person, the first player to play the game, the person who goes first is the person who last had a UFO sighting. And it actually says in the rule book, you must actually give detail. So I was trying to encourage people to just chat about the subject and chat about things they may have seen over the years. Obviously, if you're playing repeated games, you wouldn't let the same person, you know, might throw a coin on later games, but...
Yeah.
It's I just wanted to include as much as I could of the real subject in there. Mm. So no point does it ever deviate into sci-fi territory. Mm. To the outside world, to anybody who doesn't know the UFO subject, it can be played just like any other sci-fi game. There's hundreds of them.
Yeah.
And you could easily just view it like that. You don't necessarily have to have an interest. I know many of the viewers on this again are going to have an interest in the UFO subject, and that's great. But if you're watching this and you don't have an interest in UFOs, let's say you're just interested in, I don't know, Bigfoot, and you don't care about UFOs at all, you'll be able to grasp this game. You don't need to have any knowledge of the UFO subject to enjoy it at all. But if you do, you'll see all the links that I've created in the game that honour the subject.
In the rule book, just that thing about the last person to have a UFO sighting goes first, just those tiny little tidbits and little links to the subject in there.
We've got cases in there as well. You'll find them. I won't spoil what cases are in there, but there's numerous big UFO cases that if you get the game and start looking at the art and the text on the cards, you'll be like, oh, I know exactly what that's referring to. Mm-hmm. It's all in there. So it's I just wanted to include as much as I could of the subject. So, moving on to the artwork. So we took it down a cartoon route. And the artist is an experiencer. He's a contactee. He lives in New York. And I reached out to him because I came across his artwork decades ago. I came across his artwork when I was at university down in Plymouth. I was 20 or 21 years old. And I came across his art online. And straight away, I could see from what he was drawing that he knew the subject. He was including things like hybrids and that sort of thing in the artwork that he was doing at that time. And I was very impressed by that. I thought this guy, and I really liked it. He had this quirky art style to it that I really liked. So moving forward to the game development, and I decided to take it down this sort of fun cartoon route. And straight away, I was like, I wonder if I can find that guy. But I didn't know who he was. I didn't know where he lived, anything. Yeah. So I started delving on the internet. And after a very, very detailed search that took forever, I finally tracked down one of his art pieces. And lo and behold, in the corner of that art piece was his signature. It wasn't even his full name. It was his initial and then his surname. So I took that and I started searching around on Google and I managed to track him down. And I found out that he's still an active artist living in New York. And I got in touch with him, chatted to him on webcam, just like we're doing here. And I said to him, I'm a UFO investigator from the UK, and I've decided to make a card game themed on the subject. And would you be up for doing the art for it? And he was absolutely overjoyed that I'd reached out to him. He'd never done artwork for a game before. So it was completely into new territories for him. And I had no idea at that point that he'd had experiences. But as soon as I started talking with him, I found out that he'd had numerous contact experiences himself, which is why he had this fascination with the subject and why he'd been including this in his artwork. So for me, that was another brilliant point for the game. And at that point, I was absolutely sold on him being the artist. Mm-hmm. I was very, very pleased that I was able to get a good enough deal with him to make that a reality and include his art. So I think it's probably a good point to actually show the actual game on camera, shall I? Because I've got a copy right here, shall I?
Yeah.
Okay. This is UFO Wave. If you've not seen it before, this is the actual game. So I'm gonna go in there so you can see the front art of it. So there we go. UFO Wave, the tactical card game of alien supremacy. So you can see on the front, we've got a kind of squabble going on between the different species. They're sort of having a bit of a brawl there. And then in the background, we've got the men in black on one side and the military watching from the background, a flying triangle, a cigar craft, and a saucer up there above them with a kind of lovely sort of space-themed backdrop. So the game is actually, this is the mascot of the game, Bob. I'll zoom in on Bob there. So I decided in the early part of the process that I wanted the game to have an official mascot. It was pretty quick to decided that would have to be a grey, and I named him Bob. Why? I don't know. I just kind of like the name. Maybe it's because of the film Paul, and it kind of had that kind of. And I wanted him to have a bit of a sort of attitude similar to Paul. Be a bit snarky, but also friendly. So I reached out to the artist, who's Eric, and asked him. You know, would he be able to design Bob for me? So I'll send him some sketches, and he's created Bob. Bob's on the box. I won't go through it in depth on webcam because it's all over the place, but it's a flip top. So I decided that I wanted a very, very nice box for the game. I didn't want something that would fall apart. I wanted it to be nice and sturdy and also easy to pack away and take out. So it's a flip top. So you lift at the front like that. And then we've got, in the top of the box, we've got the manual. I'll show you that. So the manual I've themed on a top secret government document. So we've got a photograph of Bob up there and some alien writing. It's classified and top secret on there, UFO Wave field guide. And throughout the guide, you've got Bob sort of guiding you through how to play the game. There's all sorts of lovely artwork and cards. Playing lots of games over the years, I can't stand it when the manuals are written badly. I really cannot. And I've played so many games where you're trying to work out the rules and you're reading the manual, it doesn't make sense and it's not explained fully and you're having to make random guesses. Sometimes you find out ages later that you've been playing it wrongly. So I wanted to hone that to perfection. So again and again, I was taking it back to the drawing board, altering the writing until everybody was happy that it was genuinely including everything that you need to play the game. And then inside, you've just got the decks stacked up. That's two of the decks. You can see there the scan is the green and the plan is the blue. And down there somewhere is going to be the species red deck. So you can see the nice sort of quirky art style that I've gone for. And that's all over the cards. And I'm very, very proud of how it turned out. We've also got a play mat for the game. So on release on Amazon is going to be the game, but then also there's an optional playmat, which I believe greatly enhances not just the look of the game, but also the playability, because it maps out where you place the cards. So it makes the game a lot easier to keep track of. I'm going to hold this up in the camera. It's pretty huge. So there's the UFO Wave playmat. And we've got this lovely artwork all over it. So there's all sorts of detailed sort of alien symbology you can have a look at that. You'll spot all sorts of things to do with the subject. And this is the layout of the game. So you've got at the top where you place the decks with the discard piles alongside them. And then there's the scan line down the bottom. So a line of seven cards that gets laid out. So you can play UFO Wave without that. Absolutely, you can just get the game. But the play mat makes it just look wonderful on the table and helps you lay out the cards and that sort of thing.
I've got mine. My copy through from the once the Kickstarter had gone through, the first lot of cards came out to the backers. I got mine, but I didn't get the playmat. So the first time I played it, I had to kind of look through the manual to figure out where they all went, because having the mat, it's very self-explanatory. It tells you where to put things. So yes. I was forever checking back to the manual, making sure we had the right amount of cards on the scan line. Because I kept forgetting that you meant to have seven. So I looked down and we've got nine. I'm like, someone stop putting more bloody cards out. So it definitely, second time we played it was with the playmat. I thought that was so much easier. So I would definitely recommend getting the playmat for anyone wanting to get the game. It does make it a hell of a lot easier. And like you said, it just looks nicer on your table while you're playing.
I really like how it enhances the game. And obviously it's completely optional. So like I said, this is not a money-making project. So if you just want to get the game and don't want the playmat, it's absolutely fine. But it's there. It's going to be as a separate product on Amazon.co.uk. So they're both going to be separate products that will be linked together and just look them up and get what you like. That's an overview there of UFO Wave. And it's going to be live on Amazon.co.uk. co.uk quite soon indeed. I did say that the artist is an experiencer himself, and at the back of the booklet, I'll quickly show you this on camera again, actually. At the back of the booklet, I wanted to include one of his actual experiences. What he's drawn there is the craft that he saw as a child, and that's him looking up at it as a child. He's actually drawn himself. And this happened when he was 8 years old, and he had a close encounter with a flying saucer craft. It had what looked like revolving wheels in the back, in the base of it, green and yellow lights. And he actually had a telepathic vision of a grey come to his mind while he was looking up at the craft. And at the time, he had no idea what that was. He had no interest in the UFO subject, but that's what he saw. Later on in his life, when he started looking into the UFO subject, he realized that it was a grey that he'd seen in his mind. That's just one of his experiences we included in there. And I do intend to actually investigate his case in depth. So look out for that. I'll be releasing a case report on all his experiences in due course.
Very cool. I will quickly add, just because I know a lot of the people that listen back to these shows as podcasts, that unfortunately this won't be available in any other country but the UK, especially for now. Maybe in the future at some point, but for right now, it's definitely only going to be available on Amazon in the UK.
Yeah, that's correct. But although you could email me, we've got the address of Paradigm Games in there. And if you don't
go through Amazon, obviously you could probably arrange paying shipping and do it that way. But Amazon wise, it won't be available in the.
Obviously, I wouldn't want to get swamped by that. But unfortunately, it's a. For a small individual seller like myself, it's actually very, very difficult to do on an international scale. Mm-hmm. You have to be sort of much more well established, and that's disappointing. But at the moment, if the game does well, we may well branch out to other countries in due course. But initially, it's going to be just available on Amazon.co.uk for people living within the UK. But as I said, private sales via post is always an option. So by all means, reach out to me. I'm sure Nath will put up the email address and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'll make sure all the links to the game, to Paradigm Games website and everything, email addresses, they'll all be either on Paraverse or I'll put them in the description.
Yeah, I'll go over the website a bit more, actually. I put together the website back before the Kickstarter, so ufowavegame.com. And on that, you can see all sorts of things. There's full playthroughs of the game. You can watch videos and actually see people playing the game. There's descriptions of various aspects by myself. There's reviews. We sent out the game internationally, so don't just take my word for it on this being a good game. It's gone out to lots of different game reviewers all over the world back in the Kickstarter, and there's about 35 or so official reviews of the game that you can read on the website and quotes from these different reviewers. There's also a merchandise store. Now, this isn't at all for money making or anything like that. It's just because I thought people might like the cartoon artwork of the game. So I've set up a store. It's available via the website. That's live right now. So the game's not out on Amazon. Probably will be a few weeks' time. Keep an eye out. I'm sure Nathan keep you up to date on that. It's going to be launched soon on Amazon. But the merchandise store is live now on the website, and you can buy, if you like the artwork that I've shown there, you're going to be able to get t-shirts with that on, mouse mats, phone covers, the works. So go have a look.
And if you're in the Uprising group, be prepared for both myself and Dave and Tash spamming the hell out of you putting that live on Amazon.
Yeah, especially initially. I'll calm down after a bit, but yeah. It's very important to get the game known about in both the gaming and the UFO communities, because it's cost quite a lot of money to put together, and it'd be really nice to kind of get some of that back at some point. So I did it as a passion project. I did it for the UFO community because this subject means so much to me.
Yeah.
I did it more for the UFO community than for the gaming community, if I'm honest. But like I say, you don't really have to have a definite knowledge. If you haven't played many card games before or anything, it's quite straightforward to pick up. Yeah. So if you're vehemently against tabletop gaming and you're just not interested at all in that, then maybe you may have family member that you'd want to get it for instead. So that's always an option as well.
I was just going to say, you don't have to be a gamer to enjoy it, and you don't have to be into UFOs to enjoy it. But if you're both, you're going to absolutely love it. So
absolutely
perfect for everybody. Unless, like you said, unless you hate games and you hate aliens and UFOs, at which point, why the bloody hell are you watching this show? You know what I mean, if you absolutely hate those subjects, stop watching. Why are you watching this? What do you think we're going to be discussing? Yeah. So, yeah, a couple of weeks, it'll be live on Amazon. Once it's live, obviously, everyone in the Uprising group will know about it. But we'll do another... mention it on Paraverse. That obviously we'll have another little snippet at the end of the intro explaining who the new sponsor is and whatever. So we'll make sure everyone watching or listening knows all the details. I'll share all the links and stuff everywhere I put this. There'll be emails and website links and whatever so everyone can find it. And we'll make sure that everyone knows when it's live and when you can buy it. And the second it's live, I'm buying myself a playmat because... freaking annoying that I don't have one. So the second I can, I'm buying one. Constantly kicking myself that I didn't get it during the Kickstarter. So the second I can, I'm getting one. So is there anything else you feel we need to know, or is that it? Do you think?
I think that's probably given a decent approximation of the game. It's it's been a long term project, and it's really good to kind of finally be getting it out there commercially. I will start work on my book next. I've only got so many hours in my life, it's been an interesting just taking it through that process of game development. I'm entering a world I've never been part of on that sort of front before, and it's been a very interesting process with, as I said, numerous ups and downs, shall we say.
Yeah, you'll have to write a second book, the ups and downs of.
I probably could, to be fair. there'll definitely be a chapter dedicated to it in the book. Yeah. I can assure you of that. Yeah.
Right, give me 2 seconds, and I will play your official advert. Let me just make sure it's full screen. And then I'll get it on 2 seconds. Add to stream, don't mind me while I make it full screen. That's the wrong one. There it is.
Are you receiving me?
Yes, Commander. Loud and clear. What are your orders?
I need you to get out there and cause some mischief. But watch out. As always, the humans will be there to stop you. Their military patrols the skies. They watch us from the ground. And the less said about those pesky men in black, the better. You are authorized to use our highly advanced craft to accomplish your goals. And don't forget to make the most of our abilities, too. The humans won't know what hit them. One last thing. We aren't the only ones out there. Other species have been detected in the vicinity. They'll no doubt provide some healthy competition.
I won't let you down.
I knew I could count on you. It's a big world out there. Time to get to work.
Hi, I'm Bob, and I'm here to inform you about UFO Wave. You'll take on the role of an alien species visiting planet Earth. Each has its own particular advantages. Which will you choose? The scan is a line of cards which represent what you can see in the local vicinity. Activities are tasks which can be performed. Performing activities will gain you points, and each species favors a particular type. Humans guard activities adjacent to them. If they spot you, they'll start watching you instead. They can also be led directly to players. Energy comes in a variety of types. You can soak it up by performing nearby activities or by leading nearby humans. Events are one-off incidents which affect all players. Some of them are pleasant, others less so. The plan is the cards you hold in your hand. They represent the abilities and technology at your disposal. Powers can be used to manipulate the game in your favor. They may affect the scan, yourself, or your opponents in a variety of ways. Craft can be used to enhance your powers or to get rid of humans who have spotted you. Using them at the right time is the key to victory. Once there are no activities left to perform, everyone will add up their scores to determine the winner. Now you know the basics. It's time to release your inner alien and join the UFO wave. Created by an actual UFO investigator. Artwork by a genuine UFO witness. UFO Wave, the tactical card game of alien supremacy.
So there it is.
Love it.
Yeah, so I was really pleased with how the art turned out in that. So you've seen a lot of the artwork there is put together for the game there, and also that overview. And you'll also have noted the telepathic link with Bob in there. So we wanted to have him speaking, but obviously the Greys talk telepathically in that. So I wanted to represent that he's actually supposed to be talking telepathically, but he was a lot more expressive with the mouth movement in the adverts. That's why he went down that route.
Yeah, because otherwise it could have kind of seemed it's kind of hard to portray psychic communication in a video. It just sounds like a voiceover, so it would have
it was much nicer kind of having him express different emotions throughout the advert like that, and we had his commander there in the game that you don't really see when you're playing the game. But
how do we know that when we're not there they might communicate like that? We only witness what they do while we're there, so
indeed,
you never know.
So I hope that's given a nice overview of the game there, and you've seen there through that the way that it works, and I'm very very proud with how it's all come together.
Yes, and I'm definitely once it's live, I've got at least two people that I need to buy a copy for, because I just gamers that not necessarily interested in the UFO subject, but I know they love some tabletop games, so I'm like, okay, I've got a game you need to play. Even if it's just to play with me, so I can go, oh, I know what this is. I can tell you the list of these things. Let's have a quick look through the comments in case we've missed anything overly interesting, and then we'll get going. Stop wasting everyone's Sunday evening. It's Sunday, isn't it? Sunday evening. Chris said, I'll go into the gaming shop tomorrow for feedback on your game and see what they want to do about an order. Scroll through a bit. There's lots of other conversations and people sending things that I can't necessarily read. Dave, I might have to buy two games after he needs one for Jimmy Church. He's been watching a lot of Jimmy Church videos. So send one over. Chris said he sent you a private message, probably about ordering some. Where are we? James, having played the game and bought it, I can genuinely say it's a lot of fun and easy to pick up. Definitely. A couple of people have posted some links on the comments. Here we go. Chris said he needs three copies and three mats. We'll let you know when you can get them. And generally just people saying that they really enjoyed. Definitely very intrigued and would like to play it. So let's hope they all go out and buy it so you can get some of the money back that you invested in the game.
It's my midlife crisis, I tell you. Yeah.
Definitely. I think Tasha's sitting there like, you could have just bought a sports car. You know what I mean? Like,
I legitimately could have. That's all I'm going to say.
So, yeah. We'll let you know when any more information on dates and things, when you can buy it, when it's all live and stuff. And other than that, we'll see you soon.
Thank you very much.